gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Shaking off the first night of the Republican Convention. Oh, thank God I have some of the spoons.
Steffi.
Oh, that's heavy breathing. Yeah. I don't know why. Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
I was not kidding at the top of the hour, so I fell asleep early, so I didn't see it live.
I woke up
in the middle of the night, thought I was having nightmares. I thought the honeymooners was on, what, Nick at Night or something.
Yeah.
It's like there's a big, fat, angry man yelling
to
at
the
me.
Moon, Alice.
Yelling at
one
him.
One of these days.
More like, to the moon, Ann Romney.
He was so mean.
Yeah, he was.
And love, screw love.
Right.
But don't they coordinate the speeches?
No.
It's about love. Hey, who let the dame talk? It's about respect. Get out of here.
And it's not.
Don't make me a sandwich. Maybe 10 sandwiches.
He's going to need more than a sandwich.
Boom. This is a platform. No dames talking here.
It was amazing because her job was to come out and humanize him. So she uses the message of love.
Someone would have to humanize her first.
Hey. Well, that was the amazing part, was that she yells, "I love you women," which is a very Romney thing to say because
right.
It sounds like something
right.
an alien wearing a human skin would
these
say, I love the females also.
I said at the top of the hour, because we have to say one nice thing, she's very, very pretty. She's stunning, but I'm not sure what women relate to her. I love when she's talking about how hard women work.
Well, lesbians, apparently. She loves women.
Well, and that's why
she had
to say, I love you women, because if she said, I love women, it would sound like she was converting.
Right.
And so she threw you in, which sounds like you people.
That would have woke me up.
Like,
wait a
you
minute.
Women like she isn't one, which is so weird. Like, she should have said, we love.
It's just
love
the whole thing about how hard women work. It's just like, I'm surprised she didn't launch you into a charming story. I remember one time I was in the East Wing, and I rang the bell for Consuela. She really didn't hear it. I had to walk to the West Wing. Do you know what I'm talking
Thank
about,
heavens.
Ladies? About how
I've
hard we work?
And suffered.
Yes. All five of my boys pulling me around in a wagon. I mean, that's the sort of ridiculous part, though, that she comes out and she goes, I'm going to humanize him by going, he's human. That's it.
Really?
What makes him human.
I love
him,
though, so you should.
Exactly. I love Mitt Romney, therefore he is lovable, therefore vote for him. End of story. No more conversation.
Right.
That's all the information we're giving you.
She admitted
you
that he's a robot. She's like, he will not fail.
Yeah, right.
Jeez.
Right. Sydney's
not
I am incapable of error.
Little boy. Little boy, run back to Mitt Romney and say,
Klaatu Varada Nikto,
or he'll destroy us all. Okay. Klaatu Varada.
These trees are the right height.
Nickel. Damn it. What is it? This does not compute. This Romney bot destroyed.
And then he starts singing Daisy Daisy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, here's the thing. You know where wakes came from?
Yeah.
Wakes were actually there because they didn't know the difference between a person in a coma and a dead person.
Right, right.
So they basically threw one last party, like, we'll make a lot of noise, people will spit on them and smack them. And, yeah, like anything we could do, just one last shot.
Just don't bury him alive.
Yeah, to make sure. And then, in last case, we'll put a bell in the graveyard and tie a string to his finger.
Yeah, right.
Mitt Romney last night at that thing looked like he was alive at his own wake.
And
it was
only one day. How irritating is that we built it already? So you see Ann Romney, someone scripted the joke. Scripted the joke for Ann Romney. She just, like, rushed to it. She's like, I can tell you no one handed makes it. Says, he built it. Bam, I nailed that.
Right. There's a delay because there's nobody knows how to do a setup.
Right.
So they don't. There's no swell to, here it comes, and we go.
Oh, boy,
it's always like, and here's that tagline. Oh, that was the tagline. That was the tagline. Right. And then I will talk for a second.
Tagline!
I didn't.
Oh, yeah. And so I switched over in the middle of the night because MSNBC was rerunning it because I'd missed the original.
The
Chris
original.
Matthews must have yelled 100 times. Look at him! He looks like he's from the Hall of Presidents. He doesn't even look real.
Yeah.
He's just, what?
That's what he was. The best line of the night was Chris. It was Chris Matthews when he was going, he looks like a vice president who's there at Papua New Guinea or whatever, who's there and
observing
watching,
the culture.
Right,
not really part of it.
Watching people in skirts dancing around going, they seem to be excited about something. Like, and it's really, it did. And
almost everybody that I heard, saying they, because I actually have seen Chris Christie better. I've seen when he does extemporaneously, he can be funny.
He performs.
This speech was really I thought weird and angry. Someone said that he smiled like once at the beginning, and then he didn't smile again. It just seemed
When he talked about his mother, he was smiling. He was telling a cute story, which is how you open a speech with a gag.
Right.
But the gag was 80% of his speech, essentially.
Yes.
You know. And then after that, when he started talking about Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, he just got angry.
It was really angry. Yeah. He was just looked like a big bully. I was like,
and that pointy, and again, that kind of Governor Crypt Keeper finger thing that Ann Romney was doing last night. I want you to hear this. And she stuck her finger out. You know,
we I felt like the help.
We give
like, okay,
to charity.
Listen to me. There are spots on the glasses, and I told you.
Right. We give to charity because you give to charity, and you don't brag about it. And then she proceeded to brag about their
charity.
Like,
yeah.
Like, yes, you do. You talk about it all the time.
We tie to the church. Huh?
We're just taking their
word.
Just taking their word for it, once again, because we can't see the tax returns. I'm hearing that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that, you know, have Mormon friends that they're like, they didn't, they under-tithe. That's why they can't release their tax returns. I mean, that's where all the speculation is, because we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they can say, you know.
We give a lot of money to charity. No, you don't. You tithe a big chunk to your church, but that doesn't necessarily mean your church doles it out to poor people and people in need or whatever. They use it to build buildings and stuff, and if you don't give 10%, you will lose your bishophood. He'll stop being a bishop. He'll be excommunicated. If he
How do they
give
10%. Know what 10% of your income is? And you should have to show them your tax returns? How would they know what
10% is? Essentially, yes. Yes. You kind of do.
Really?
And if you don't.
So the Mormon church can see his tax, but the American people who he wants to lead.
We actually had, on my show on Saturday, we had a former Mormon come on and talk about the fact that if he shows his tax returns and it turns out he didn't give 10% of his actual income.
Right.
Or, and he may have given 10% of his taxable income or something
like
that.
Well, the degree that he went to avoid paying taxes in general wouldn't surprise me.
Right. But
But
the idea is that if he didn't give all 10% of that, he could be excommunicated as a bishop and lose his status.
Or whatever. Actually,
Anne, salt mines and Planet Kolob.
Right.
Anne in one interview said that's the only. He actually made the joke that's the only time he cries when he has to write a check.
Yeah.
Right. And and to the church.
God. To charity.
Yeah.
The charity that they love giving to so much.
Oh. Speaking of crying, can we talk about John Boehner's speech? What?
I missed it.
The
did he tell a walk
so
into a bar
joke? So did everyone else,
joke?
Because, it was a tavern story.
Yeah. A tavern.
First of all, it was so sad. It was like, you know, the dinner show at Yuck Yuck's or the one at 3 in the morning. There was nobody there. They were just, like, milling around. No one was really listening. It was
open mic night.
Current TV was covering it, though.
Right. As was MSNBC, CNN, Fox, whatever
they had. We prefer Current.
Yes, that's true. But I mean, they were all covering it because they...
Well, let me talk about the tone. First of all, I can't believe it. Seriously, Jim, it was like one of your skits. The whole story was about a guy walks into a bar. I mean, it literally... But the tone of it is that a lot of people talked about it. It was just this disrespect for the president.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole speech was about that guy walked in our bar. What do? We throw him out. I mean, it's sort of the visual of like...
Yeah.
Talk about the GOP guy who got kicked out.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. There was so they kicked somebody out of the there was somebody ejected. A GOP attendee was ejected for throwing nuts at an African-American CNN camera woman and saying, this is how we feed animals.
She's a black woman.
Yes,
you should point out.
Peanuts at, yes,
fantastic.
Right. African-American CNN camera woman.
I suppose that brings me to
their
this.
Credit,
anyone
they ejected the guy.
You seen this?
Yeah.
Anyone seen this?
Yeah, it's been going around Facebook.
Yeah. It's the Obama Hope poster, although they've cleverly changed it to rope, and it's the president being hung by the neck. Because
being lynched.
Yes, being lynched.
But it's, you know, it's let's be fair, it's the same on both sides. Both sides do it.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Both sides do it, Steph.
Oh. Get out.
But some people say they want to see Mitt Romney's tax returns. Yeah. It's exactly the same.
Exactly the same as saying he should be lynched. It's an accountant lynching. It's a Cayman Islands lynching.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
No, but a lot of people talked about this really was borderline, like, violent imagery, like, literally physically throwing the president out of a bar. He's like, well, that guy comes in and says, we throw him out of the bar.
We don't want your kind here.
What is he, C-3PO all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, ultimately, and that was an allegory on racism. And,
Andy Borowitz had my favorite tweet yesterday. Welcome, delegates, to the 2012 Republican Convention. Remember to set your watches back 400 years. Somebody moved my recycling.
Oh, dear.
Oh, all right. Oh, we have, let's see. We have the, someone does this every year, listener comedy. It's the, I believe Rachel Maddow's daddy sent me this one.
Yes.
It's the 2012 Republican Convention schedule, because most of us couldn't watch the whole thing.
Oh.
So here's what you missed. 8:30 opening music, Trample the Week by Ted Nugent. sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. 9:30, discussion of Christian values and marital fidelity. Newt Gingrich presiding. 10:30, women's rights. What's the big fuss, little lady? Dominated by Eric Cantor. Let's see. 11 a.m., Why I'm Holier Than Thou, ministered by Rick Santorum. Who, by the way, remains a colossal. Yeah. As Charlie Pierce would say.
Yes. Oh, man.
11:30, The Curse of Irrelevancy, sobbed by John Boner. 12 p.m., my gun's bigger than yours, or is that a politician in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me? Telemarketed by the NRA. Break for lunch, provided by Chick-fil-A. Of course, 12:30, How to Buy an Election, Making the Citizens United Decision Work for You, time paid for by Karl Rove and Antonin Scalia. 1 o'clock, Keeping Your Cadillacs Prime, followed by Reaching Out to the Proletariat with Dressage, driven by Ann Romney. 1:30, Maintaining Conservative Values While Screwing the Elderly, convened by Paul Ryan. 2 o'clock, Exploit Your Entire Family for Maximum Profits or Mama Grizzlies for Dummies, hosted by Sarah Palin. 2:30, Fair and Impartial News Reporting, Why It's Overrated and What You Can Do to Eradicate It, aired by Fox News. 3 o'clock, Bombastics 101, orated by Chris Christie. That's pretty much what it was last night. 3:30, A Muslim Ate My Love Child, confessed by Michelle Bachmann. And let's see one more. 6 p.m., Understanding Why Democrats Exist in Higher Numbers Than Republicans. Their Women Are All Sluts, ranted by Rush Limbaugh.
And it's posted on your Facebook page. That was parody?
And don't forget, there's a special seminar, Ayn Rand Who, that'll be actually hosted by Paul Ryan and selected readings.
There was a Ron Paul ruckus on the floor of the convention.
Yeah, they would not say the name Ron Paul from the dais yesterday.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, during the roll call in states.
Candyman. You say him three times, he comes through the mirror and kills you.
A swarm of bees.
Right. 17 minutes. All right, we're just getting warmed up. 17 minutes. We have a big show coming up.
We got
Alan Combs on the big show today. We have DNC Executive Director Patrick Gaspard and much more. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Chris Christie's main nemesis from New Jersey is going to be on the big show. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Back with do we have crunchy audio goodness from the Feel Bad Speech of the Year?
Of
Chris
course
Christie?
We do.
Oh, yes.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We need more Houdini in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, the freaks were on pretty much all day yesterday.
Yeah.
including Janine Turner.
I missed that.
I swear to God, I thought all I saw was a screenshot, and I thought they mislabeled it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
Don't you have to bleach blonde your hair to be allowed?
When you go right wing, I don't know.
It's, yeah, maybe.
But shocking.
I love Boehner's speech or whatever. Did anybody ever think to bring up to him that starting off with a sort of a bar joke as your kind of gag was that one of the most famous jokes told during the primary was when one of the Republicans stood up and said a conservative, a liberal, and an independent walk into a bar and the bartender said, "Hi, Mitt."
Yeah, exactly. That would have been a good one to open the convention.
Yeah, sure.
You know, truth, Hal, always the funniest.
Yes, right. Well, that's been the thing that's dogged him through the primaries, and it's not going to change.
Pick the angriest soundbite from Chris Christie. I don't know which one. Yeah, I don't know why I reverted to a teenage girl. I was like, God, Dad, calm down. It wasn't that late.
Yeah.
He just looks scary. Okay. At least I'm concerned for him. I really am. I'm like, I don't think he should get that worked up. He didn't look healthy, is all I'm saying. Here he is.
We are demanding that our leaders stop tearing each other down and work together to take action on the big things facing America. Tonight, we are going to do what my mother taught me. Tonight, we're going to choose respect over love.
Respect. Wait a minute. Even in that sentence, I mean, that's
so. Her whole speech was about love. She said, "This is really love."
Yeah,
screw that.
It was the theme of her speech.
Don't
was
listen
love.
To that dumb broad.
I love Mitt Romney, and you should too. And here's why. And love is very important. And love is what whole
love will keep us together.
Love is like oxygen.
Yes, love is like oxygen. Yeah. You get too much, it makes you high. Yeah. Not enough, and you're going to die.
Exactly.
And and basically, here comes Chris Christie to step on your air hose.
Yes,
right. like an airplane. He's kicking.
It really
you.
Was right. like a feel bad speech. Sometimes you gotta say no. It's like, oh,
well,
wow.
And the subtext.
Okay.
Of, Yeah, the subtext of "we'll take respect over love" was it's
and by the
better
way, what
to
is
be...
he talking about? Compromise and working together. He's
not
a bully. He's like won by crushing all of his opponents.
You'll
in
work
New Jersey.
Together with me, or I'll sit on your head.
Well, as dumb as it was, that was the most coordinated part of the speech, which was we need to reach out to independent voters as the keynote. One of the things we have to do
with
is
all
reach
this really angry rhetoric.
Right, exactly.
Yes. That's what Robert Gibbs said. He was like, I was a little flabbergasted.
Yeah.
What happened here? It was just a lot of angry
I think the only
attacks. It wasn't...
Hey, I'm reaching out with this finger.
Yeah, right.
Wow, one-finger jersey salute. Okay, Carol in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
It's very nice to talk to you this morning.
Thank you. You too. Go ahead.
The only thing that was missing from Ann Romney's speech last night were the pom-poms. She was bouncing up and down like a 15-year-old cheerleader.
She, what was a charming story about the dance, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He's going to take America home.
Like he did, like that. He did me from the dance.
He's going to drive you home and try to pick your lock, America.
He's going to cop a cheap feel,
that's
America.
That's the first time I've heard that euphemism.
You're welcome.
America, he just wants a little top action.
It's a Pink Floyd reference. Come on.
He wants a little first base.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney wants.
That's right. Mitt Romney's going to take America to first base.
God.
But he won't go to second base until he talks to your dad.
Okay.
And
it's time
for
the John and Pam Show, everybody. Oh. Looks fresh from the
Yay.
Columbus Sexy Liberal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show.
Yep.
It's the John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, honey chop.
Oh.
I love you women.
How'd you enjoy the big show last night?
Oh, the big show was great, especially, Steph, when one of your lines was stolen by Scott Walker.
Oh, what'd he say?
Somehow he put in his speech, "You lying bag of crap."
He did not.
Really?
Did he really call someone a lying sack of crap? Really?
Yeah.
I would have given him my jingle.
But it also needed to say that Sean Gilbo from the station.
Yes, in Columbus.
Up in Columbus.
Oh, my God. Pam's the cutest little coach I've ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said to tell you guys hi, and Pam and me were on the show last Saturday and that, talking about different things going on here in Ohio.
Can I say one thing? Chris Christie needed Mrs. Christie, like Pam is always next to you, going, honey, a little less angry. Smile.
That's true. But to bring you up to speed here, what we were talking about in Ohio, the Secretary of State moved two Democrats. It's got 27 years of service on the board and that and everything to stifle the votes here in Ohio.
I know, because they might allow too many people to vote, and that would be bad.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he needed. See, that's what we needed, Mrs. Christie. It's under the podium, just, you know, smile. Yeah, you look jolly.
You're scaring everyone. you're literally scaring everyone. You're scaring Mrs. Romney.
All right.
She just gave a speech, and it sounds like you're threatening her.
We have the New Jersey Democratic Party chairman, who is the bane of Chris Christie's existence, joining us next. On
John Wisniewski.
Thank you. On the Stephanie Miller Show next.
Stephanie Miller.
What's the matter with everybody? Everybody's so grumpy every morning around here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris Christie, he called on Americans to face the nation's hard truths. It was the feel-bad speech of the year, everybody. It was really new era of truth-telling, blah, 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 a lot of yelling.
We're screwed. We're screwed.
Yeah, we're going to compromise by being respected and not loved and telling you guys
sat
how
on
to...
the teachers union, not crush them.
Hey, respect this.
This is about...
And vaporize the teachers union.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Leadership delivers. Leadership counts. Leadership matters.
And here's the great news I came here tonight to bring you. We have this leader for America. We have a nominee who will tell us the truth and who will lead with conviction. And now he has a running mate who will do the same. Wow. We have Governor Mitt Romney and Congressman Paul Ryan. And we need to make him the next president and vice president of the United States.
That was the first mention?
That was the first mention.
That was the first mention after six hours.
An ode to me,
of
Chris
stories
Christie.
About himself.
Yeah. Another thing about me.
Another story about me.
It was like Lake Wobegon days. They should have, like, I'm surprised they didn't wheel him out in a chair with a giant book.
I would have given anything to read Mitt Romney's thought bubble. While he's like, I mean, did they catch him, like, looking at his watch?
My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Alagiano Christie, came over here.
All right. Yeah. We have the New Jersey Democratic Party chairman with us, Assemblyman John Wisniewski, who's a...
Wisniewski.
Wisniewski, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm scared by Chris Christie's speech, but you deal with that temper all the time, don't you?
It took him 16 minutes to remember...
That he was there,
there
to talk
to
about.
Speak about Mitt Romney and not himself.
He thinks a great deal of himself.
You think?
Yeah. I mean,
well, listen. He was. You know, it's interesting to hear him give that speech on a national stage when we have been hearing things of that nature here in New Jersey since he was sworn in as governor. He talked about telling the truth. You know, we're going to tell the hard truth. Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't seem to recognize that. That applies to him, too. And when he talked about balancing a budget, he's one of 49 other governors that's constitutionally required to balance a budget. It's not a discretionary act that he finally got around to doing. Everybody balances the budget in New Jersey.
Well, and John, I thought interesting that he's there giving the keynote for Mitt Romney when his record is about the same as Romney's in Massachusetts. I mean, unfortunately, right. What are you, like 48th in job creation or something?
We're 47th in economic growth, and when Mitt Romney was governor, he was 47th. So I guess they are, you know,
perfect
they're looking
for
people right at the same number.
And the unemployment rate is 9. What is it in Jersey now?
It's 9.8. It's just gone up. And when that number came out, Governor Christie said, look, you know, you can't look at those numbers.
No.
When he was candidate Christie, that's all he focused on was the numbers. And
and that's the worst since what, 1977?
35 years, 1977, the worst we've had. And this governor, one of his apologists in the legislature said that it's actually a good thing because it shows there's a lot of people looking for work.
It's interesting how that's all different.
It's good what you did, Anthony. It's real good.
When you're referring to a Republican governor and not the president. Well, you know, it's interesting, John. I wonder what you're – I'm sure you listen to a lot of the analysts, too. But I thought the same thing as I've seen him give a much better speech. This did seem like a really angry – speech to me, didn't it? I mean, I've seen him be more charming or use more humor or, you know, give better speeches, haven't you?
Well, I think he has a charm quota, and if he uses it at one part of the year, he can't use it again. Mm-hmm. Because this was really, you know, the vintage Chris Christie that we've seen in New Jersey where, you know, he starts out, he tells the schmaltzy story about mom and his family history. But then he really gets into the diatribe about, you know, how we've done it right and they've done it wrong and how we're the, you know, we're the protectors of truth and light and justice. And the fact of the matter, none of that's really true. I mean, he talked about cutting taxes in New Jersey. Property taxes have gone up 20% under this guy's watch.
Yeah, that's what I don't get, where how he even can vaguely cast himself as a tax cutter.
But that's how Romney's doing it, too. I mean, isn't he using the exact same methodology, raise fees, raise other things so you don't have to...
here's what he did, just so everybody listening understands. He came in and he said, I'm going to address the budget by cutting homestead rebates, which helps local people pay property taxes, local taxpayers, cutting aid to school districts, which again helps offset property taxes, and cutting aids to local towns, which helps offset property taxes. You take all that money out of the system, it gets made up by raising property taxes. So what he did is he came in as governor, he took his problem, and he made it somebody else's problem, passing the buck. This is something the governor says we shouldn't do. He passed the buck.
Do you think Mitt Romney was, I mean, that's what we were talking about, what he was thinking. Do you think, like, what the hell was I thinking? I mean, it really was pretty stunning how long it took him to even mention Mitt Romney. It certainly was not a full-throated endorsement.
Going, oops.
Yeah, well, the only thing he didn't do was look at his watch like George Bush, but you could see him thinking about it. I think he was looking around the auditorium to see where the watch was on the wall that he could look at discreetly and say, when's this guy going going to mention me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it, unfortunately, you know, the impression we took from the primary is that nobody likes Mitt Romney. I mean, you sort of got the same impression from the convention already, didn't you?
Well, it just they're spending a lot of time in this convention saying, really, he's a nice guy. He's really a nice guy.
Yeah.
And they bring out his wife and they bring out his children, and everybody has to convince America that he's a nice guy. So it gets you wondering, if you got to convince people that he's a nice guy and you're spending your entire national convention convincing people he's a nice guy, what is it that people see in him that make them think he's not a nice guy? Because clearly his record in Massachusetts would say this is not the formula for America.
Right.
His record at Bain Capital says this is not the record, this is not the formula for America.
And, John, a lot of people have obviously not seen Chris Christie to this extent. I know I've only seen, you know, clips here or there, or, you know, this appearance or that on TV. But he, to me, came off like the bully that I feel like he's always, that he clearly is famous for governing New Jersey with, like, you know, crushing the teachers' unions and picking fights with people. I mean, he came off to me like an angry bully.
Well, I mean, that's his shtick here in New Jersey, and that's what he, you know, he sells here in New Jersey. But, you know, the irony in all of these things is, you know, he talks about telling the truth, and his speech is full of misstatements. He talks about respect. You know, an important part of leadership is respect. So then his way of working through respect is to say you ought to take a bat out on our Senate Majority Leader, and he calls Democrats skunks, and he says about teachers that they're only interested in their own salaries. I mean, that's certainly not showing respect for anybody.
Right. Yeah, teachers certainly never have the kids' interests at heart. That would be crazy. Yeah, I mean, he's been like sort of the poster boy for demonizing teachers. I mean, obviously this has happened with a bunch of Republican governors, but I don't know how this – you know, we just had Lisa Bloom on yesterday, who wrote the book on education. When did we start rooting for less teachers, for, you know, public layoffs?
Well, I think it's part of the Republican philosophy that we ought to privatize public education, that we ought to turn it over to corporate interests who have a profit motive. But it's certainly something that hasn't worked here in New Jersey. And the fact of the matter is, this governor has criticized our education system when New Jersey is consistently ranked first, second, or third in the nation in terms of its education system. So this is all just, you know, Republican talking points. He took shots at the president that really have no substance and nothing to back them up. And this is a president who's presided over 29 months of job creation. This is a president who saved the auto industry. This is a president who got us, you know, getting us out of Iraq and decimated al-Qaeda.
Well, and John, a lot of people certainly made the point that, you know, interesting, for people that seem to believe so much in their principles, the name George W. was never uttered once. I mean, if those policies were so successful, why not crow about the last Republican administration that tried these same ideas?
Well, and you know, the interesting thing was, is that, did you see the chutzpah clock they have on the wall?
Yes.
I'm sorry, they call it the debt clock. I call it the chutzpah clock. Because,
yes,
you know, it takes a lot of chutzpah to put a clock showing the national debt on the wall when they're the guys who did it.
I know, and as somebody pointed out, Paul Ryan voted for all of it.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Clinton left office with a surplus. His budget was generating a surplus. George Bush and Karl Rove and all these guys got in control of the levers of power, and they took that and they spent it, and then they spent more, and they're racking up the national debt, and now they have the nerve to point at Democrats and say, look what they've done.
Surplus means you're paying too much tax. Fix that.
In terms of Chris Christie, I mean, you know, we all remember that obviously the famous Obama speech that launched his career, you know, the blue state, red state speech when he gave the keynote in 2004. Do you feel like this, well, it'd be harder to launch Chris Christie, but my point is, do you think this launched him? I just don't. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, although what I'm saying is I've heard a lot of analysts say they were really surprised it was not a good speech for him. I just didn't think it was. I thought it just came off so angry that, I don't know, do you feel like it launched him to the same degree?
It launched him. I'm just not sure where.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it certainly, you know, people will remember this speech because of the things it didn't say, because of how long it took him to mention the party standard bearer, because of his, you know, strange read on the truth or respect. But it's certainly not something that people came away with saying, yes, this is the model for America. This is the kind of party we want to be, because he seemed, as he got through the speech, he started out nice, warm, and fuzzy, and he got, you know, just angry and kind of preachy.
You know, I have to say, John, I don't know what you think, but it gave credence to me to the story that was out there that, of course, he denied that he turned down the VP thing because he doesn't think Romney can win. And that's certainly what the speech seemed about. It seemed about 2016. It seemed about, screw Mitt Romney. I'm not going to bother mentioning him. This is about me, right?
Well, and that's really the theme that we in New Jersey have been pointing out about this governor. This is Governor Mee. His policies in New Jersey have been tailored to get him attention on the national stage. When he attacked access for women to quality health care, and he cut that out of the budget, when he reduced the earned income tax credit, when he's protecting millionaires and providing protection for them from paying their fair share of the cost of running the state, this is all out of the Karl Rove Republican national playbook, so he could get onto last night's stage.
Yep.
And now he wants to continue that so that he has a shot at 2016. He spent a third of his time out of the state this year campaigning for Mitt Romney, not fixing the problems of New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, how they think of, what did you say, 47th in job creation? How they thought of putting the governor of the state 47th in job creation to vouch for the governor that was 48th in job creation? You got to hand it to them.
I think it's just, it's certainly creative policy making on their part. And, you know, what they've done, what the Republican Party has succeeded to do, is they solve problems by having people get angry at somebody. That's what Chris Christie did here. He couldn't figure out a way to solve our pension problems in New Jersey. He said, well, let's get angry at teachers.
No, Robert Gibbs was on our show yesterday, John, and he said that last night on TV. I think he said he was actually surprised that it was so much comprised of just angry attacks and not what's great about Mitt Romney or what's Mitt Romney going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, John, great stuff. It's so nice to check in with someone that's spent so much time with Chris Christie. I envy you that. He seems delightful.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, John, we'll talk again real soon as the campaign
rolls
along.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, there he goes.
That's got to be one big trebuchet to launch Chris Christie.
Wow. Here's the thing.
It was like a really scary scene from The Sopranos.
See, I think, you know,
teachers, you got to be sleeping with the fishes.
Yikes.
Just saying.
Okay.
I think the more I think about it, the more I think Romney and Christie have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that Christie has personality and his inward stuff gets out. I think Romney, with that whole, I like being able to fire people and stuff, he has an
Was the governor of the state 49th in job creation not available, or what was it?
Yeah,
right.
Enjoy,
but I think it was just, like, he's got this antiseptic view of it. You know, it's almost like
Enjoy swatting flies.
The sociopathic version, you know what I mean? At least Chris Christie almost seems to gleefully enjoy because he feels like he's in a real fight with somebody he disagrees with.
Right.
Whereas Romney just doesn't care, and he's sitting back in there. I swear to God, I was like trying to lip read what he was saying, Romney. Oh, and he was like watching because he's leaning over. And I swear to God, I think it was oil can.
Yes, I think so too. 47 minutes after the hour, we return. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Governor Chris Christie last night at the Republican convention.
This stage and this moment are very improbable for me. A New Jersey Republican.
Boom! And I did not vaporize until the happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Really? Let's go to Mark in Charleston, South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
So, Jim Sinegal is the co-founder of Costco and former CEO, and he said a month or two back, Obama has given billions, or maybe with hundreds of billions, of tax credits and incentives for small businesses to grow. Don't believe the false or misleading Romney ads. And Jim is speaking at the Democratic National Convention next week.
Yeah, and by the way, the Costco shirts do not come in three packs.
Yeah, that was my next point. The Fox News headline would be, that's in my paycheck, Obama takes kickback of lifetime supply of Costco T-shirts.
Right. For next week. Right.
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
Well, that's, you know, did you see the David Letterman Ann and Mitt Romney lies segment that they did?
No.
Not
they
up
just,
that late. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. It was
he has
wonderful.
A late night program of
like,
some sort.
We've been going, he loves these Costco. I've been buying him these Costco shirts and three packs
them.
And stuff.
Kirkland.
And, yeah. Mm. Lie. Like, man. Because yeah. it was just
like,
such
please.
Baloney. I mean, it's, you know, when a regular politician.
When I'm there buying a 1,000-pound bale of Cheetos. Right. I pick up some shirts.
Honestly, when somebody like John Boehner is campaigning and his wife slash significant other, whomever that person may be, is campaigning, they go, yes, we go to Target and we buy our, you know, we go shop. You kind of almost buy it a little bit. It seems like pandering a tad, but you let it go because it's borderline truthful.
Yeah.
This is just so off the charts ridiculous.
This is spit out the, this is spit take.
He did his own line. He ironed his own shirt yesterday.
Oh, please.
She should have just tacked on for the first time.
When Tag Romney tweeted the picture of him doing laundry at a laundromat on the road. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's
and he's
so
pouring the church into the dryer.
He was so awkward even holding the bottle of Tide.
But who are they trying to reach across to? Because quite frankly, they've been vacillating between running on, I'm a super millionaire, get used to it, which is really what they're, that's what she said last night. Ann Romney
I'm a regular guy.
Yeah. Ann Romney, but she was saying, is this how we're going to punish our kids? We're going to tell them not to be successful? What the hell does that mean? Barack Obama was raised by a single mother, studied his butt off, became head of the Harvard Law Review, became a state senator, then a senator, then president of the United States. We're obviously not, we don't have a problem with success and hard work. We have a problem with
viewing
all work as the same, which is an issue.
By the by, so we were talking about just the tone, starting with Boehner, like talking about throwing the president out of the bar.
Which, you know, I mean, guy like that comes to the bar, we throw him out. So,
seemed not really, you know, once again, this sort of new low in respect for the office of the presidency, whatever. And then we were talking about this going around the internet, this hilarious, it says rope instead of hope, and it's the Obama thing, but he's being lynched, which is right-wing humor. And then, I don't know, Jim, I was talking about this yesterday. I don't think because between the convention and Isaac, I don't think this has gotten a lot of press. Four Army soldiers based in Southeast Georgia killed a former comrade and his girlfriend to protect an anarchist militia group they formed that stockpiled assault weapons and plotted a range of anti-government attacks, including including assassinating the president.
They're neo-Nazis. They
brought $87,000 worth of guns and bomb components. This is right out of the Homeland Security Department report that the right wing went crazy about. The prosecutor said the militia group had big plans, planned to take over Fort Stewart by seizing its ammunition control point, talked of bombing the Forsyth Park fountain in nearby Savannah. In Washington State, they plotted to bomb a dam and poison the state's apple crop. Ultimately, the militia's goal was to overthrow the government and assassinate the president.
And one of the guys, I guess, who's turned state's evidence or is going against them, it was apparently released that the guy who was funding the whole thing, one of them who had $500,000 from the death of his wife, there was some talk that he had killed his wife for the insurance money to finance this.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
And the guy turned seven, and the other two, that was one of the big problems they have, not with the plot to kill the president and stuff, was that he had killed his wife to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we call it an airstrike?
Al in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Al.
Hey guys, and I'm not very far actually from Fort Stewart, to be truthful, and that's, you know, I'm a veteran. I've been to Afghanistan, Iraq, and we do have, you know, that fringe, just like you've got the Tea Party fringe, you know, in politics. We've got our fringe in the military that sort of go off like that every now and again. But anyway, I watched the speeches. I agree with everything the guy said about Christie, and I know that I guess I'm not the target audience for Ann Romney. She's looking at the
I don't know who the target audience is.
I don't know. The Philadelphia suburbs, I guess. I don't. But look, you know, come on. The reason why people don't like the Romneys is not because they're rich. It's because they're phonies. They're a couple of phonies. And you know, it just sort of cracks me up. The whole Costco thing, the speech last night.
Please stop trying to humanize him. I can't take it anymore.
Right.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour.
Great
right back.
Point.
More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with sexy little Hal Sparks.
Hi there.
Oh, my. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. All right. It's day two of the RNC. That's why we're so excited.
Oh, yay. That because white, hot electricity.
Yeah, they okay, that platform. Ooh, it's a very radical right-wing GOP platform. It's what's the right side of life.
Always look on the right-wing side of life. Republicans, I want you to see that they're pro-life. If legitimate, your body will come in and make sure that you don't have a baby. If you're feeling worse, enjoy a dancing horse. Sit down for transvaginal, it's free. So, always turn to the right wing in life. Listen to the man of the house, not the wife. Always vote for the right wing in life. Don't worry your pretty head about all this strife.
No. Zippy. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Life's a piece of... Oh, we can see that.
No.
Oh, stop it. It's all right. DNC Executive Director Patrick Gaspar joins us now for his impressions of day one of the RNC. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. What were your impressions of last night?
Last night was rather bizarre. We saw a couple of hours of a tremendous amount of anger and ideology, but absolutely no specificity and no real solutions for struggling middle-class Americans. It was so interesting listening to that bloviating speech from Chris Christie. It's one of the most narcissistic addresses I've ever heard at a convention. But the most interesting part was his notion that somehow Mitt Romney is speaking hard truths to Americans. I don't know what these hard truths are. None
right.
of them were laid out last night, and they're certainly not laid out in a Romney-Ryan budget that's cutting taxes for billionaires and billionaires while increasing expenses for middle-class workers. It was confounding.
Yeah, well, if he's ever even gotten close to a hard truth, he's flip-flopped and gone to the other side of the issue. I think you're absolutely right. I have to say, I think that I saw Robert Gibbs say the same thing last night, that he was a little surprised that this opening night was so sort of just angry and attacks, and there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, as everybody has pointed out, it took Chris Christie how long to even mention Mitt Romney?
Did he eventually mention that?
Yeah. I loved, what was it? Oh, David Axelrod's tweet halfway through the speech. He is going to mention Mitt Romney, right? Isn't he?
It was interesting. Somebody needs to tell Chris Christie that the lint in his navel is not the center of the universe. I think that, last night, just like today, you're just going to see folks who are going to try to continue to take the president apart. They're going to lay out lie after lie about welfare reform and what we've done to secure Medicare in the president's budget. And they're not going to talk about the ways in which their budget absolutely cuts Pell Grants for young people in this country and imposes a burden on seniors who really need the security of Social Security and Medicare, and who, of course, and the prescription drug benefits they get out of the health care bill.
You know, Patrick, I didn't think Rick Santorum helped him much either because, you know, again, it seemed more like it was about Rick Santorum and getting his anti-choice views out there again. And you know, he got the lie in about the welfare thing, which has been, I mean, to me, that has been so roundly shot down that you know, this welfare thing is such a complete lie. I don't even know how that helps them. Do you?
I'm not sure who they think they're having a conversation with, because every independent fact checker in this country, and those who are not aligned with us at all, have said this is a complete lie, that the request for flexibility around welfare reform rules came actually from Republican governors, and that the president made certain that if they're going to get any flexibility, they have to increase the number of people who are moving from welfare to work by 20% in their state. So it's a clear falsehood, but, you know, they are trying to appeal to the most crass elements of their extreme right wing, and it's troubling to see, you know, dour Rick Santorum bending over backwards to, again, appease folks who are at the extreme edges. When John McCain accepted his party's nomination 4 years ago, he actually was a good deal more center-focused on immigration reform, on budgets and deficits, on health care reform than this Romney Ryan ticket is. They're completely out of touch.
Well, and, you know, there was a lot made of, we've been talking about even just the tone, starting with John Boehner, essentially talking about the president as a guy you throw out of a bar. I guess when we've started with a congressman yelling, "You lie at the president," we shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, and I get that this is a convention, but, boy, that seemed to really kind of jump the line on tone, didn't it?
It really does, especially since most times you use your party convention to unite your party, get over internal differences, and lay out a vision that all Americans can appreciate and understand. And at a time when we're seeing the Gulf Coast battered by this storm, and folks are all pulling together, and all Americans are seeing the actual value of real coordination and a well-resourced response to emergencies, we have a number of folks who are just taking that stage, who are in government but seem to despise a government in our lives, and are absolutely misrepresenting the president's positions and misrepresenting their own positions. Last night they were talking about the way in which the GOP is embracing women and loving and love women, and we all know that they have a party platform that does nothing to advance women's health care, wants to make abortion illegal, even in instances of rape and incest.
I was going to say that they have got to have a handler off stage just reminding every speaker before they go on, don't compare rape to anything. Just don't say anything about it. I mean,
well, that was the issue with Paul Ryan, though, was that he said rape is rape and there's no variation in rape, he was backtracking for forcible.
Then you stop talking like the president did. Rape is rape, and then stop talking.
The reason he was back, it didn't change his policy towards it, though.
Right.
This really isn't about abortion, even with them, in the case of rape. It's about denying somebody emergency contraception, because they don't believe in that either. And you have to pay for your own rape kit. I mean, it's off the charts.
Yep.
That's exactly right. But I'm happy that you all are out there reminding folks that Ryan was side by side with Aiken pushing out legislation that would redefine rape narrowly, and that would roll back all the benefits that women receive right now from the health care bill.
Well, Patrick, as somebody was saying yesterday, it's not a gaffe. This is their policy. It's in their platform. You know, so it's, you know, they keep saying one after another person misspeaks, like this. Who is it? The guy from Pennsylvania, Republican yesterday, compared rape to his daughter's out of wedlock pregnancy.
Well,
consensual sex. It's like, I mean, really? Can you really not wrap your mind around what rape is? I mean, it's just.
From a father's point of view.
It's all about the guy, yeah.
Wait, but even then, you mean your daughter willfully having sex with a young man and having a child
the same,
is the same as her being forcibly raped to you?
Yeah.
What kind of a dad are you?
Yeah.
It's bizarre. These are not gaffes. Every now and then these folks think aloud in front of the world, but we're going to be out there to hammer home the truth in every instance.
Patrick, let's talk about tonight. So what else is on tap besides Paul Ryan? Do you know?
Paul Ryan is clearly the star of the show tonight, and I think that they're basically going to try to lift up this sense that Paul Ryan and this ticket are, you know, serious folks who want to take on what they see as a central issue, which is the deficit, which is why they have that looming deficit clock in the convention hall. I hope that Paul Ryan and the Republicans in that room are going to look at that deficit clock almost like a mirror, and they're going to appreciate that it exists at the number that it exists. success because people like Paul Ryan stood by silently, actually voted for all of the measures that allowed that deficit to balloon, the two unfunded wars, the drug mandates from Bush that were unfunded, the tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires. So they can take the states tonight and talk about fiscal responsibility, our debt to future generations, but they themselves are responsible for that funding.
Well, and his original budget didn't balance the budget until 2040. Now, if you take out the $700 billion in Medicare savings that the president, you know, put in there, it balances the budget never, essentially.
Never. Never, and increases the deficit by $5 trillion in tax cuts to rich people, $2 trillion in defense increases that even Pentagon generals say they don't want or need. And he does this while still cutting Pell grants for 12 million for millions of students and increasing taxes for women who are going to lose the expansion of the earned income tax credit that he wants to slash. So
before you go, the other thing, I heard somebody saying last night, like, oh, you know, Paul Ryan's not, he leads with Medicare. He's not afraid to talk about it, and to which I say, good.
Yeah.
Keep
knock
talking
yourself
about
out.
your voucher program. And I mean, it obviously polling is showing it's being roundly
coupon
rejected. I mean, you know, Chris Christie said last night, you know, leadership isn't governed by the polls. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
keep
great.
Going
swing for the fences, pal.
Yes, keep going on your Medicare plan.
Yeah. Who cares if everyone hates it? It's not like we're here to govern what other people want for their country.
Well, I remind Chris Christie that if he wants to take a peek at the polls, he'll realize that Paul Ryan didn't give Mitt Romney any of the kinds of downs that past nominees have received from their VPs or what any of them expected. Maybe he got 1% somewhere in this country. It's because their plans are unpopular, and now they've even put a muzzle on Paul Ryan because they want him to be as opaque as Mitt Romney is. But,
right. You know, boy, that's tough.
We'll keep at this.
Patrick, thanks so much for your time. Love to talk to you again as the election rolls along.
And we'll be seeing you in Charlotte.
Thank you. I'm in Tampa now, having a little bit of fun down here, and we'll see you in Charlotte and love your show.
Thank you. So thank you, Patrick. See you in Charlotte next week. There we go. Patrick Gaspard, he's the DNC executive director. How about that?
Whoa.
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Back more Hump Days.
Very exciting. The whole thing is very exciting.
Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour.
You know, my favorite part of Ann Romney's speech was, we've been together for a long time, and he still makes me laugh. I can't decide whether she meant at him or with him. And I want her to tell me what the last thing he did that cracked her up was.
Yes. What was it that the Mittbot said?
Was it him trying to do laundry for the first time in his life? He must have gone through 30,000 shirts, just ruined all these 900 thread count shirts.
Oh, I put the detergent in the dryer.
I tried to put our kids in the washing machine. I thought you would want
to
wash the stuff.
Shirts by the bale at Costco because he ruins them. He's so
just. I had to. He ironed his own shirt yesterday. It was like Mr. Bean.
Republicans emphatically approved a toughly worded party platform at their national convention that would ban all abortions, gay marriages, reshape Medicare into a voucher-like program, and cut taxes for the rich.
Yeah.
So there you go. Interesting. A Pew poll. Thank you. Found more people interested in the platform than the acceptance speeches by Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan. Because that's what we keep saying. It doesn't matter. This is what they believe in.
Right.
And people get it, I guess.
This is one of the areas where you do read the fine print. It's not like clicking on that new iTunes contract. whatever. Yeah, I'm not going to steal stuff.
Except.
Okay, fine. I just want to buy an app. But it's like, I'm voting for, maybe I should take a look at the blueprint.
Yeah. Okay.
And by blueprint, I mean the cartoons that they present as
Dana,
real plans.
Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Just a Janine Turner fun fact for you, Mama.
Oh, yes.
She does Christian yoga videos. So
Really?
And
what is, wait, back up. Yes. What is Christian yoga?
It's called Christoga or something. You can look it up online.
But how does it differ from regular yoga?
It's a Christian fitness thing. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't buy it.
I'll tell you how, because it has nothing to do with the Hindu religion.
Yeah, yoga is inherently un-Christian.
How do you, what is the only pose, like you're on the cross? What is it? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's interesting, and she's a bit of a fright if you haven't seen her for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she looks like Ann Romney's stunt double. I realized after a while that I was like...
The Tammy Faye makeup train.
All right,
One thing for Chris, too, I just wanted to quickly say, every time I saw Dana Loesch do a tweet, I thought of you.
Oh, God.
Like her off hurling in the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
okay, so here's my point for Hal. Hi, Hal.
Hi.
How are you?
Spectacular.
Love to see you, as always.
Thank you.
So I just was a little bit astonished that they didn't talk about the two longest wars in history.
Yeah. No mention of that.
And, you know, maybe how about some love for the troops? And
Well, they did give love for the troops, but only the actual ones that were married to two of the people speaking.
Exactly, yeah. There were two small little mentions. But, I mean, I would think everybody would say God bless our troops as well as America.
Yeah.
And they're still being murdered by Afghan police. I mean, Americans are dying every day.
Right.
And I don't see them touting that on the platform.
Nope. Well, you won't see any foreign policy because that's a sticky spot for them to get into. If they start down that road, they have to actually talk about it, and it's creepy because basically they have one policy, follow Israel into a war with Iran. That's pretty much it. Everybody else, and give China the finger, I think, is the other Mitt Romney. That's it.
And Rick Santorum is, you know, Christianity, you know, love everybody, we're all created equal, unless you're on welfare.
Yeah, well, you knew it was going to be a scary...
Unless you're black, unless you're poor.
Right.
I mean, you knew it was going to really disgusting.
If God loved you wouldn't have been born poor.
And you knew it was going to be a scary convention when Dana Loesch and all her friends flew in yesterday.
Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed. Now
did you hear her squeal like a pig a few days ago on her show?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
That was actual audio of her.
That's her actual. That's very soothing.
And why did she do that?
She was mocking Democrats.
Oh, she was talking about
something.
The left wing freaking out over something.
Over something.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
All right, Governor Chris Christie, last night at the RNC, here he is.
Now, I am the son of an Irish father and a Sicilian mother.
Immigrants.
Tell it to you this way. In the automobile of life, Dad was just a passenger. Mom was the driver.
When in doubt, fall back to the crappy sitcom concept of dumb dad overpowering mom. It's worked for years. You
it's
know,
hilarious.
Just
where's
do King
the,
of Queens. Just
track?
Do a King of Queens sketch. Just do. Right, exactly.
And he does seem like Jackie Gleason, I gotta say.
Days.
But in reverse, that's the funny thing. Yeah. He comes out and goes, Mom was the leader of the household. P.S. Shut up, everybody.
All right,
it's better to be respected than loved.
We are the great grandchildren of the men and women who broke their backs in the name of American ingenuity. The grandchildren of the greatest generation. The sons and daughters of immigrants. The neighbors of entrepreneurs and firefighters, and everyone in between who shows up not just on the big days or the good days, but on the bad days and the hard days.
Like the days when you're
each and every day
to China.
Right. Mm-hmm. We show up so we can teach our Chinese replacements how to do our job. Ooh. Because if we don't get our retirement package. Thanks, Bain. And by the way, did you see that report about his tax? He took some of his Bain Capital income. As, you know, he had to say he had an active role in Bain from just the 2010.
I know.
All right.
Wow.
Galen in Colorado. Yeah. Hi, Galen.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I was wanting to talk about Christie's respect comment.
Yes.
Respect is earned. It's not given. And, you know, if Christie and the Republicans want respect, they need to start giving respect. They need to start showing respect for the American people.
You mean like
and
teachers?
I haven't seen
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Teachers, women, gays, you know, the entire LGBT community.
Policemen, firemen, yeah. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Mm-hmm. Alan Combs, my buddy, my pal, next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thanks.
victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia. But only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against
Stephanie Miller.
When death is on the line.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Speaking of sexy liberals, Fox, looky here. The Fox must have lifted the ban on me. Alan Combs, my buddy, my pal, joins us. Author of the new book, Thank the Liberals. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, thanks for not banning me from your show.
Yeah, I always never ban you, Alan.
Yeah, I don't. They invited me on Hannity last week, in fact, and then I got canceled at the last minute.
I have nothing to do with it. I don't get involved.
You don't get involved.
I'm kind of like Mitt Romney. I have no opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
If it would help the sale of your book, though, we could ban you if you want.
Yes.
You know, just so you could something to rail against. You know,
I could rail against my employer and sell books and never work again, but that wouldn't really work for me.
I could cancel you at the last minute like Sean did and then rebook you. How about that?
Uh-huh.
Right. So
you kind of rope me in, aren't you?
Yeah. Alan, so talk to us about your impressions of last night, of the opening night of the RNC.
Oh, was last night the opening night?
Yes.
Well, I thought Pat Robertson finally had a point that the God does control the weather.
Yes.
And, I mean, only, what, two conventions in a row where a hurricane in two different cities happens to hit when the RNC is in power? I mean, come on, really.
Yeah, I got to say, but honestly, we did Right Wing World yesterday. They have really jumped the shark. Rush Limbaugh actually said he thinks Obama, you know, directed
the weather service to make it look like I know,
they,
I know.
So
you
that they would cancel the first night.
You can't take that seriously. I thought Ann looked good in her Costco dress.
Yes. Yes.
That she ironed herself.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. It was made completely out of bulk paper towels.
She ironed that.
Right.
But, you know, obviously, and a lot of people talking about the fact that Chris Christie barely mentioned Mitt Romney. It was all about him.
16 minutes. It took 16 minutes for Chris Christie to mention Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney doesn't mention Mitt Romney, so I think, you know, why would you be surprised? He won't talk about his governorship. He won't talk about his years at Bain Capital. He won't talk about his religion, which is fine,
right.
But he doesn't want to talk about anything. So, you know, it's amazing. Actually, I thought John Kasich did a much better job explaining Mitt Romney as governor than Mitt Romney ever did, but I wonder if, like Andrea Saul, when she talked about what Mitt Romney did as governor, i.e. Romneycare, they wanted her fired, so I wonder if they want all these Republicans fired who mentioned Mitt Romney as governor because he won't talk about his governorship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just thought it came, I've been saying all morning, but it's just, boy, Christie came off as angry to me.
No.
Just really angry.
Well, he was
hungry,
all about Chris
maybe.
Christie. He was setting himself up. I thought it was a speech for the next convention, actually, that
right.
he was making. You know,
right.
he clearly has eyes on the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When Cory Booker takes his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Alan, let's talk about the book. Great stuff. You know, this is what Hal and I are doing with the Sexy Liberal Tour. We're taking back the word liberal.
Yes, exactly. I think it's great what you do. I'm a big fan, obviously. Aww. And the word liberal has been in disrepute ever since Bob Dole, you know, he was saying liberal, 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 what a horrible thing. And liberals run away from it. And I use the word terms liberal and progressive interchangeably and call the other side regressives, which is exactly what they are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, you point out in the book our founding fathers were the liberals of their day.
They were more than liberal. They were radical. They came here. It was a radical idea to start a country. We were far more progressive than the motherland, England, far more progressive than the Magna Carta on which English common law was found. Or you were listening to the GOP, you'd think our founders were a bunch of, you know, Republicans. They were a bunch of radicals, just like our religious figures. I go into this in the book as well. Buddha, even Muhammad, they all were based on very liberal concepts. The people that they look at as deities that they think you would think would belong at a GOP convention are actually liberals. Religion, in the very basis upon which religion is formed, which is the golden rule and loving your enemies, these are very liberal concepts that Republicans, for the most part, don't enact.
Well, and Alan, it's interesting. Our right-wing friends keep talking about the Constitution over and over, and as you point out, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, among the most, quote-unquote, progressive documents ever written.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, all the rights, protecting the minority from the tyranny of the majority, the things that we are, the fact that anybody, no matter how heinous a crime you commit, you can't be drawn and quartered, cut up into four pieces. You know, you can't have a punishment that exceeds the nature of the crime. We don't torture people. You know, people forget, forget about for the moment, let's put aside the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. What about the Geneva Conventions, the things to which we are signatories? We've had this big debate in this country about torturing people, and they think that's okay. We're supposed to be like the people we hate, like
yep.
the people who torture us and who attack us. We we want to be like them?
By the way, is it wrong?
What have we become?
Is it wrong of me to wonder how long it would take to draw and quarter Chris Christie?
No.
I'm just saying.
Stephanie, stop it.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, he's taking the high road.
Not asking that it be done, just curious about
just
how long the process would actually take.
Glad I could set you up for that.
Now, you make some very good points in the book. You say, do you like weekends, sick days from your job? Mm-hmm. Knowing if something goes terribly wrong in your life, you'll have a security net to help you get on your feet. Then you're a liberal. I mean, that's the thing that I think, who was it? I've heard Chris Matthews going off, remember on Reince Priebus?
Yes.
Because he said, well, what's this European thing? Then FDR is European. Then every president's European.
Yeah. As soon as I get to learn how to say his name, I'm sure he'll be out of office, that Reince Priebus.
Yeah,
but it's true that people are liberal when they are. When they actually have to live their lives. When Dick Cheney has a gay daughter, all of a sudden he's for gay marriage. When Dan Quayle was asked by Larry King years ago, what would you do if your daughter needed an abortion? He said, I'd support her. So the minute you actually have a real life experience, you become a liberal, and then all the ideology goes out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, you make some good points, again, bringing up the Constitution, that it is not based on the Bible. That we left, as you talked about the Founding Fathers, we left England to avoid the marriage of church and state, and how religion has no place in public policy. Right?
Well, I don't know about you, but I use the Constitution to know what to do with my oxen. So no, it's true. I mean, we don't stone people for adultery. We don't have laws based on the Bible. But what about murder? Yeah, okay, murder's pretty bad because you're hurting another person. But
that's also a tribal law in every culture in the world.
Right.
It's in the prime. The right acts of Buddhism as well, and in the Hindu laws and stuff. There's nothing special about the murder theft clause of the Ten Commandments, per se. It's the picking and choosing where we're like,
and it seems to me
shrimp
that
versus being gay will pick
right,
winners.
Well, you know, being gay and not eating shrimp are pretty much on the same par, I would
exactly
think.
Yeah, you go to the same hell.
I mean, it's like this. It seems to me like they're the ones trying to pervert the Constitution, like, with, you know, whether it's these personhood amendments or the, you know, what is it, the 14th, trying to use the 14th Amendment that literally would give the unborn property rights? Mm-hmm. How does that work exactly?
Well, they want the unborn
really
to have
a zygote? Yeah. Right. Own a house?
Yeah. Second Amendment for zygotes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the NRA would like zygotes to have guns. But
Tiny, tiny guns.
Little tiny guns. Little,
no, big guns.
Guns.
Prenatal guns.
Your hand will grow into it.
Right.
Big guns.
We also wonder if indeed you could tell if someone's going to be gay or a liberal ahead of time, would they be in favor of abortion?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
tiny guns with a 100-round clip.
Explain what you mean. You have a quote in the book, all Americans are liberals. American conservative is an oxymoron.
Well, it's true, because what I was just saying, for example, when you find out that your child is gay, you love the child. When you find out that your daughter needs an abortion, you're not going to, unless you're a crazy wingnut, you're not going to throw her out of the house. When you live your life and realize, I mean, we are living, the people who revere the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, are revering liberal documents. We're living the liberal dream of our founders. If you're coming here from the Soviet gulags, or you're coming here from Iraq or Iran, this is a very liberal country compared. I mean, people, they toss around the words freedom, you know, that word salad thing that the Palin does, for example. They toss around freedom and liberty. Liberty and liberal, liber, come from the same root, which is free. So they don't even know what they're talking about when they toss around these words like they own them, when in fact liberals own those words, not conservatives.
Well, speaking of that very thing, here's Rick Santorum from last night. Take a listen, talking about liberty.
In November, we have a chance to vote for life and liberty, not dependency.
Boy.
A vote for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan will put our country back in the hands of leaders who understand what America can and, for the sake of our children, must be to keep the dream alive. Thank you, and God bless you.
Yeah, what does all that mean?
I don't
apparently
know.
We don't have liberty now. Yeah. We can only have liberty in
the
house.
I don't have my Santorum to English dictionary with me.
Right? Apparently what he's saying is the intoxication of being on food stamps temporarily is so overwhelmingly awesome that who would ever want to try?
Yeah.
That's really the message.
The back of the stamps is what he's doing, probably.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I got a quote in the book of him talking about how sex, you know, unless you're doing it basically within marriage and for reproduction, and probably in certain positions with the light at a certain setting, it's not right. So, and he also actually said, you know, there's something wrong, you know, we wanted to throw up at what JFK said when JFK said, I'm not going to let my religion influence how I would be as president. You know, it's funny, when JFK ran for president, he had to talk about how he had to distance himself right. from his religion, and Rick Santorum felt he had to do the opposite. So,
and that worked out well.
It didn't work out too well.
Yeah, now we have Paul Ryan speaking tonight, who all of the, pretty much every religious group, including the Catholic bishops, have condemned for his budget, calling it an immoral document.
Also, let's not forget that there's a guy that got rich because his family was rich, because his family got all these government contracts. Let's not forget that Bain Capital got all kinds of tax breaks. These are people who got rich on the government dole.
Right. Thank you. By the way, if you have a small business, Alan, you didn't build that. Paul Ryan's family built that. They built the gold, the road to it with government money.
I have a piece of Huffington Post called I Didn't Write This. The fact is the fact is it's ridiculous. And the whole convention's a lie. It's based on taking Obama out of context that he didn't build this. And, of course, we know what he really meant. If he hadn't said those four words, he probably would be in better shape.
Well, actually, just one word. It was that versus those.
Yeah.
If he just said those, it was the proper linguistic thing. But he was trying to be colloquial in his language. You didn't build that road, that bridge, and you didn't. And that's important. We did. Everybody did.
They're lying about, you know, that he wants to take the work requirement out of welfare, and they're lying about, you know, they're basically lying about his record. It's just, you know, and yet Romney gets up there and whines about how he's being mistreated. It's unbelievable.
I know. Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what his speech is going to be Thursday. Because I don't think last night helped him at all. Do you?
I don't know whose hand will be up his back, but as the puppet. But no, I don't think, you know, people who love the Romneys and think Ann is great are going to love what she had to say. And I don't think she's really turned any heads. The independents, you know, are the ones who are going to have to. Really, and it's really a handful of states. We're talking about 9 states that are going to make a difference in this election. It's all about the electoral vote.
Well, that's what I was saying. I just don't sense that the Christie speech appealed to the independents. It just seemed really angry and lectury. You know?
I mean, he gave a very good speech, but it was red meat for the red meat eaters. And again, I don't think, you know, they've got to appeal to independents. Mitt Romney did the opposite of what you're supposed to do. He ran to the right to get Paul Ryan on the ticket. He's so insecure about his ability to appeal to his base, he needed someone else to do it. This is a guy who actually had his son, Trigg, call the people who didn't get the VP slot to tell them.
Right. Didn't call him in person.
Right. He had his son do it.
I think it was Tag, actually.
Tag. Yeah. Trigg is the other.
Yeah. Or Floyd.
That's the Trigg is the Palin kid.
Yeah.
But, Tag. I understand the line was, hi, it's Tag, you're not it.
Yeah.
There we go. Alan Combs with the tip in at the buzzer. The book is Thank the Liberals for Saving America. Alan, great stuff.
Thanks, by the way,
give Hannity a big kiss for me when you see him at Fox.
That's how we used to make out before the show.
So. Love him, miss him, love him more than air. Can't breathe without him. All right. Alan, great stuff, great book. Thanks so much, honey.
My third favorite member of our gang.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Sean Hannity. No.
I think you're why I got canceled.
Huh?
Because of that. That's why I got canceled.
You're welcome.
You're a scamp.
Yeah, I am.
46 minutes after
Why
the
would
hour.
You want to be there? It's forget it.
Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800 Step 1-2. Karen in Livingston, Joyzy, to talk about Chris Christie. Hey, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling from the hometown of Governor Christie.
Yo.
And I'm here to tell you personally, from firsthand knowledge, he wouldn't know the truth if he rolled over it. He is.
You may have actually done that.
Yes.
We have no evidence.
It'd be hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anecdotally.
Exactly. In 2005, I sustained a brain aneurysm, and I was in the hospital for a long time until I learned how to walk again and all that. But I was eligible for help from the Traumatic Brain Injury Fund in this state. Each state has their own. And Christie said he was going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
yeah.
night before the election, I went to the Crystal Plaza here in town because he was going to be there having a big party for all his big funders. And I asked, are you going to cut this? And I was told only Democrats would do that. No.
Yeah. No, I know. Wow. It's the same story in almost every state. I don't even get it, how these myths arise that he's doing such a great job as governor. How do you be 47th in job creation?
Because that's a number. And
it's the same thing for tax cuts for the rich and stuff like that.
But in a frustrated society, somebody who's yelling shut up at somebody who annoys them gets extra credit. It's a sitcom character. He's, you know, yeah. like he's basically Archie Bunker. Nobody is paying, like, they don't know the difference.
I'm going with Jackie Gleason.
There might, for all you knew, if you found out tomorrow that there was a sitcom called Governor Christie. I'm dead serious, and you did, and all these clips that you saw of him turned out to be from a show. Would you be that shocked? And I think a lot of people are removed from the political
Somebody
process.
Somebody was saying Janine Turner looks like Kristen Wiig in a sketch. I mean, they do. You can't tell which is real.
They must be dialing that in for SNL right now.
Here's the Chris Christie sketch.
Tonight we are speaking up for ourselves and stepping up. Tonight we're beginning to do what is right and what is necessary to make America great again.
Bala bing, bala boom.
We're going to take it back to the Bush years. Remember how awesome?
We're going to take that guy out. He's going to be sleeping with the fishes.
All right, and here is Ann Romney.
I don't think there's a woman in America who really expects her life to be easy. In our own ways, we all know better. Oh, you know God. What? That's fine. We don't want easy. But the last few years have been harder than they needed to be.
I don't know that it resonates, her talking about...
No. My favorite part is when you go, things that used to be free, like school sports... Well, that's because you keep cutting education funding. Because look,
I think women that are worth $250
million.
I think they have it a little easier than some of us.
Has it been easy for me?
Well, and this idea that she's worried about soccer being costing her money is just absurd. But education seems to be the only area where Republicans keep saying you can't solve a problem by throwing money at it. That's how they solve every defense shortage. Yeah. That's how they solve every business problem is throw money at it.
Right.
But
even to the extent
throw money at rich people.
You can't throw money at education because it's a waste of money. Teachers are they're
even
special
to the extent
interest.
Of getting weapons that we don't need that aren't operational that the military has said they don't need or they don't
we built this helicopter and we went on a different way. We put the blades on the bottom and rockets that fire into the cabin at the pilot or whatever. It's only going to cost $1 billion a piece. We're still working on the prototype. We haven't been able to get one off the ground without killing everyone in the 9 mile radius.
We got a submarine with no doors.
It's
like all the toys from the Island of Misfit Toys.
We replaced the doors that we didn't have with screen doors. And we think it's going to be a big seller.
And a pop gun that shoots jelly.
Yeah.
All right, here's Ann Romney last night.
We're too smart to know there aren't easy answers, but we're not dumb enough to accept that there aren't better answers.
What? Huh? Women aren't dumb enough.
And that is where this boy I met at a high school dance comes in. His name is Mitt Romney, and you should really get to know him.
His real name is Willard.
Yeah, we should. Tell us about him. Well, we ate tuna fish in a basement for about 6 weeks until I got pregnant, and then we moved into a house that was paid for by our parents. It's just cute story about, how everybody ate tuna. Our desk was a door on sawhorses. Because that was cute. We thought we'd slum it for a couple years. Hilarious. Cha-ching. That's
actually, remember she said about that was her, we had a tough story?
Yeah.
We had to sell stock when we were in college. We're like... Yeah. Yeah, you were worrying about that when you were picking which ramen noodles.
I was searching through the circular for the 10 for a dollar special on ramen noodles.
Finally, like Mitt Romney has more in common with Tom Cruise's character in Risky Business, cashing a bond to get a hooker.
I am very disappointed. Yes, worrying Where more, is the glass A?
Yeah,
all right.
Worrying more about the tiny hairline crack in
my mom's.
Sell stock in my macaroni and cheese.
Ann Romney with the big. Finish. She digs chicks.
We're the mothers. We're the wives. We're the grandmothers. We're the big sisters. We're the little sisters, and we are the daughters. You know it's true, don't you?
Right?
I love you, women.
Oh. kind of sounded vaguely Oprah-ish.
That was a little L-word.
Yeah. But it was, that's the odd part. It sounded like a Romneyism. It sounded like an alien speaking to human females.
Right.
Edgar, your scalp's falling off.
Yeah, it wasn't we love you
I
women.
I love you
it
other was, women, beep, beep,
yeah,
stick.
It wasn't like we, the Republican Party, and the Mitt Romney administration will love women and care for their needs. It wasn't that. It was like, I love you females, people, person, things.
We love humans. They are delicious.
And then she said, I hear your voices.
Michelle Bachmann said the Republican Party is the party of women because she won the straw poll.
Yay!
Narcissistic much?
Wow. That proves it.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Hump Days with Al on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I hear your voices.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Hello.
Anne in Columbus was at that Columbus Sexy Liberal. Hal Sparks blew the roof off the sucker. That was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Mooks, I want to tell you how much fun we had at the Sexy Show in Columbus. You guys were great and so cute together. We were walking from the show to the meet and grope. I happened to look over and see John and Roland walking next to me. I looked behind me and saw you and Hal locked in a hug walking behind us. You guys were so cute.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
We had a nice stroll down the
street.
We were
groping each other on the way to the meet and grope.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're warming up because you got to kind of limber up for a meet and grope.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't just walk right into that.
Oh, yeah. Stretch your hamstrings.
Yeah, because the first hand's always colder than you think it will be.
Right. Exactly. Woo-hoo! Kids, get the tickets going fast for September 29th in Seattle and the big one, Sexy Liberal Palooza at the Beacon Theater in New York City, October 27th.
Oh, they're all big ones.
Go get it. Get it. Oh, hey, looky here, before we dive into right-wing world.
Right-wing hypocrites!
You hardly ever see a headline like this, Hal. Anti-gay activist and Prop 8 donor charged with sexually assaulting young boys.
Yeah, as recently as last week.
Wow.
And since the 80s, this has been going on.
Hey, long-time anti-gay activist, California Prop 8 donor, elementary school teacher. Taken into custody August 17th after admitting inappropriate contact with young boys. He was a longtime youth volunteer with the very, very homophobic Evangelical Free Church of Yucca Valley.
Oh, great. Emphasis on the yuck.
Has confessed to sexually abusing numerous teenage boys. During his arraignment on August 21st, he recanted his confession, though, and changed his...
Pleaded not guilty.
Well, he needed to have all that.
Because he wants to be put in general pop. But the amazing thing, I guess, first of all, let's state openly, this man is not gay. This man is a pedophile.
Yes.
Any more than a man who molests a young girl is not a heterosexual in that regard. He's a pedophile.
Yes.
That's what it is. And I think that the guys like that who are against openness about sexuality in the conversation that we have, either gay or straight, is a way of culling the ability of their victims to speak out.
Right.
The more open a society is and comfortable with the topic of sex, the easier it is for a victim of sexual abuse to go to an adult or go to someone and say, I was abused. If everybody's afraid to talk about sex, period, it makes it impossible for a victim to do anything about it. That's why this guy would fight for that kind of against that kind of openness.
Before we
dive
into
Prop 8, as it were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we dive into the recorded right-wing world, let's do a live one with our good friend, Billy.
Billy's hanging around.
Yep.
In that Texas town. With a phone call from the range.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Just letting go.
Here he goes.
If you want to know how his talking points are strange.
Here we go.
How's he come up with this stuff?
Good morning.
Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. Listen, you folks on the left have no business.
It's such a divisive way to start a conversation.
Have no business what?
The Senate telling a blatant lie on the floor like Harry Reid did.
Like
what?
What
do you mean what? That Romney didn't pay any taxes.
How do we know that's a lie?
Yeah, how do you know it's a blatant lie?
How do I
prove
know
it.
It's a lie? It's
prove it.
He paid taxes.
How do you know?
How do you know?
If he didn't pay taxes, it would be big news.
Did he pay income taxes?
Did he pay income tax? How do you know that?
How do I know it?
Yeah.
Because he's not in jail for not paying taxes.
No, that's not the point. Our tax system, is unfair.
He didn't lie.
Like
prove he lied.
Prove
he's got no business. You
prove he lied.
Prove that he lied.
You said, he was. He lied on the floor. You have evidence to prove that he lied on the floor?
Yeah.
What?
What was it?
The only thing that would
it's been proven, it's well known that he paid taxes.
It's not been proven.
He has to charities. That's
all part of the
he doesn't give. He gave money. By the way, he gave money to his church, which is great and admirable.
No, Billy, that's exactly our whole point about the unfairness of the tax system. People like Mitt Romney can get away with paying zero.
Exactly.
ExxonMobil pays zero.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, there are so many loopholes and shelters.
$60 billion in profit, zero taxes.
Yeah.
By the way,
while using the American system to protect every one of their interests, the military to protect their oil interests overseas, the electrical system in the United States,
all
the traffic, trucking, shipping, ports, they take the legal system and intellectual property rights to take advantage of the courts in every sense and pay zero taxes on it.
By the way, Chris, speaking of paid right-wing callers, you know yesterday when that coal miner called?
Yes.
Hello, I am a coal miner, and what about the president is...
He's not.
He is getting rid of all the. Well, I just let Jim go with the environmental aspect.
Yeah.
But the fact is, coal production is not down. The president is closing all of these coal mines,
the
and we're all losing our jobs.
No.
The president cannot close coal mines, first of all.
Because I heard him
on
a bunch of other shows.
Right.
I'm like, okay, you're the paid coal miner guy today.
Right. Yeah.
Did you see this story? Coal miners say they were forced to attend Romney's event and donate. A group of coal miners, remember that photo op?
Yep.
Yeah, and it was an unpaid day of work. It was mandatory they show up.
They said they feel they would have been fired if they did not attend the event with Mitt Romney and contribute to his campaign. And to make matters worse, they lost a day of pay for their trouble.
Unbelievable.
They called into various radio shows there and said, yes, we were in fact told the Romney event was mandatory and would be without pay. Yes, letters have gone around with lists of names of employees who have not attended or donated to political events.
Which proves that Harry Reid lied.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, the reason the coal company gave for not paying them was they were worried about the legality of paying employees to go to a political event.
Right.
So they decided not to pay anybody, but you had to go. So you're basically...
But it's just one more phony thing about the phoniest candidate I think I've ever seen. These guys were human props. They didn't even want to be there. They were forced to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the, you know, the tableau of the day. Oh, look, coal miners all support Mitt Romney enthusiastically. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Oh, my goodness. Megyn Kelly had Flag and Flurg and Tag.
Yeah, Zeke and Zeb and Ted and Fred and Bear Brain Tennessee.
Zip and Dip and Chip and all the Romney kids.
Yeah.
The Romneys, the other narrative that's out there, you guys are kids of privilege. You know, your dad is successful. Your grandfather was successful. But it turns out that your dad is... in many ways, self-made. I mean, he started off in a $75 a month basement apartment with your mom years ago. I mean, do people really understand that they did have some struggles?
Yeah, we heard from a nanny who claimed to have been familiar with that family.
Really?
Said that she would always, that was a child of privilege.
His father ran American Motors.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy. Did you read the David Brooks piece, The Real Romney? It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Let me read a little bit. Mitt Romney was born on March 12, 1947 in Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Virginia, and several other swing states. he emerged hair first, believing in America and especially its national parks. He was given the name Mitt after the Roman god of mutual funds and launched into the world with the lofty expectation that he would someday become the Aero Shirt Man. Anyway.
P.S., by the way, he got his nickname Mitt from the Mitt of Michigan.
Oh, oh, awesome.
Really?
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Britt Hume on our speaker tonight, Paul Ryan.
This is what Paul Ryan has brought to this race. This young man is a potent political being in the sense that you sense his earnestness, sense his knowledge. When he says that he's not in this just to win, that he's not worried about the next election, he's on the next generation, I think voters may be more inclined to believe that from him than they would from many another politician.
Like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
But you mean as opposed
to
the...
He's a potent, as in virile, as in, you know...
Look at those abs.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't have abs!
I know. That's your personal little bugaboo.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He doesn't have... I mean, he's skinny.
He's not pumped.
Yeah. He doesn't have abs.
He's not pumped in his...
The one that's glass and
God.
The official muscle head of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Apparently, there's a big push to find shirtless pictures of him.
TMZ posted some shirtless pictures of him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and he did not have abs. He's very skinny.
Flex the pack of hot dogs in the back of your neck so people can...
I'm not going to flex anything for you.
See,
that's so not true. On camera, anyway.
Dana Perino on the 5.
Why does the House Republican brand... Why is that any worse than the Senate Democrats? Mm-hmm. Harry Reid, as the head of the Democrats, has not passed a budget in 4 years. Like the governing is so lacking. It is a mystery to me why Republicans are hurt worse by Congress being a bad steward of the.
Because you're a bunch of obstructionist douche nozzles. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why the Republican Congress has a 10% approval rating, which is why you said how there's no way. That's why John Boehner had to speak to chairs.
Yeah,
we'll let the
breakfast
bill come up for a vote.
They're not letting Eric Cantor anywhere near the convention,
Exactly. I think Boehner came out carrying a tray of, eggs, and sausage, that kind of thing. And I'll do a speech while handing out breakfast. But the reason why they haven't passed a budget largely is because getting one through the House that doesn't include psychotic changes in every aspect of American life, it would be nearly impossible. And so they just do continuing resolutions and they just keep the budget as wrote and make amendment changes, which is, by the way, what you do even in a business every year. You don't create an entirely new budget from scratch in your business. You modify the one you have based on growth or contraction.
That's right. That's right. Eric Bowling on the 5.
President Obama has been nothing but an extremist, a leftist extremist. He gutted the Constitution with Obamacare. He gutted free market capitalism when he took over GM. He picked and chose who was going to fail, who was going to survive. Gave him $100 billion between GM and Chrysler. Chose them, absolutely wiping out shareholders and bondholders. That's extreme. That's extreme. Political, social, and fiscal engineering. So for him to say Mitt Romney's an extremist, I guess, like I said, takes one to know one.
He saved the auto industry.
Wow.
He picked winners better than
the Supreme Court as to whether Affordable Care is constitutional.
Well,
really?
And beyond that, for Pete's sakes, he's picking winners and losers. Yeah, we're picking Ford, Chrysler, GM over Toyota, Honda, BMW, Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, we're picking American companies over foreign companies. Right. We're protecting our industry. Yeah. Radical so that it's
socialist.
Not ravaged by foreign industry because
which
they have advantages.
Is he a socialist that's anti-business or so he saves all these American businesses? And he's a
communist.
All right.
He nationalized the banks. Didn't you hear that? And by the way, we still they make all Ford cars are now made in the basement of Congress. They're assembled by Eric Cantor's staff.
Of course. 18 minutes after the hour, back with a smidge more right-wing world. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. I'm not a doctor, but I think I'm dying of laughter. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm riding in your car. You turn on
Stephanie Miller.
I say I don't like
Stephanie Miller.
But you know I'm a liar. Mm-hmm.
I love that old Robin Williams bit from 1980.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, we continue right-wing world. Greg Gutfeld on the 5.
We aren't Santa Claus. It's hard to run against Santa Claus, which is what you're doing with the Democrats. You're running Obama is Santa Claus, but we are reality, and they've got to show that with Santa's promise comes Satan's consequences, i.e. Greece. That's what he has to do.
No.
He's
austerity that did it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's supposed to say
Santa and Satan have the same letters, huh?
Wow.
Huh? See?
They both wear red, which is lucky.
Yeah.
See, the way you get off a marginal show on the Fox Network, which is at a crappy hour, is you become a sociopath. You become you turn crazy and mean, and then they'll give you a primetime slot.
That's pretty much
how he got it.
He used to
say
anything
because
no one's watching at that hour.
Yeah, right. He used to be on
Red.
He used to do Red Eye, and he used to
does Red Eye, doesn't he?
Is it still on?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Red. Santa wears red.
Red again. Satan wears red.
Red Eye. Red Eye at night. Okay. Satan's
Greg
red
Gutfeld
eyes.
Is Satan.
Right.
Compassion has some of the same letters as communism.
Okay, compassionate conservative. Rush
Limbaugh. Yeah, wait to hear this one.
Storm.
Tropical Storm Isaac, which everybody's desperately hoping becomes a hurricane. I can't believe this. They are desperately hoping that it becomes a hurricane. It's the Democrats' wet dream that this thing hit New Orleans. So, you know me, my middle name is Solutions. I have some ideas for the Republicans and how to deal with the tropical storm slash hurricane hitting New Orleans. First thing we do is send bags of money instead of sand. Once we publicize that we have sent 500 bags of money, well, whatever number of bags, bags filled with money to shore up the levees, what will happen? The poor of New Orleans will storm the levees and steal the bags, thereby putting themselves at risk for the eventual flooding that will happen once they remove the bags of money. And that way the Republicans can get rid of even more Democrats in Louisiana and shore up the state for themselves.
Wow. He's got to cut back on the Oxycontin.
That's wow.
It's rotting his
brain. So he wanted the poor people of New Orleans killed.
Yes.
Drowned.
Drowned.
Not killed. Let's say semi-passively, this is his plan. The idea that poor people...
But why would Democrats want New Orleans
flood? Or
speaking of which...
That was logical. Awful.
It falls apart
by the way,
after Republicans sending money anywhere but their own
pockets. And people were saying this is kind of an unfortunate time for the Republicans to have a convention and do their small government thing when... Gee, Bobby Jindal and everybody else is screaming for FEMA to help them more.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and get on privatizing that? He was already complaining the Obama administration is being stingy with federal resources.
Oh my
before
God.
The hurricane, stingy? Isaac even made landfall, but the usual FEMA disaster protocol has been activated. The Obama administration approved his request for disaster declaration. The administration's actions have earned praise from even David Vitter down there. Mary Landrieu, everybody. It's like they're literally trying to pre-criticize president for something that he hasn't even done
yet. Horrible. Okay. These government solutions, but there's not enough.
Yeah, but that's... Food's terrible. Why isn't there enough?
Yeah, right. But that's the same group of people who are, you know, getting pictures of themselves with giant checks handed over to local constituents in federal funds and then saying the stimulus didn't work and that it wasn't worse than anything. And this is the exact same thing. It's now a methodology. Plus, they're doing... We built this stadium with government funds. That one that they're in down there was actually built with... federal and state subsidies. Yeah.
And I do think it's kind of hilarious that Paul Ryan is speaking tonight at the We Built This convention.
Right.
When he got his start because his family was wealthy from building roads with government money. Mm-hmm.
And he himself got Social Security and used that to go to college.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't know if you caught this. I found this very interesting. You guys have already in depth done how it took 1,600 words of 15-20 minutes for Chris Christie to finally mention Romney's name.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when they did, I was watching MSNBC, and they did a cutaway to Ann and Mitt, and everybody was standing up except for Mitt, and Ann made the gesture, stand up. I wonder how Mitt Romney feels about that speech and how Chris Christie is going to be involved in future campaigns for him. Because even though we like to say Mitt is opaque and you can't see his emotions, you can't read him.
Yeah, he was not happy.
He was not a happy candidate.
Yeah, that was definitely irritation I think we saw on his face.
It was like, what the heck took you so long to mention my name? I'm watching it and I'm saying, wow, this is one heck of a speech for a guy who's running in 2016, except it's 2012.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Not since his car elevator malfunctioned has he been quite so irritated.
Well, it was really actually interesting to watch because you kind of had this oops look on his face. That was the only...
This might not have been a good choice for keynote.
Okay. Ironically, Chris Christie took a car elevator to get to the
front. Oh, Jim Louise.
No, but a small limo go-kart drove him out to the edge of the
probably
podium.
True. Yeah. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Since assuming the chairmanship of the Senate subcommittee to investigate juvenile delinquency, I have become increasingly concerned during each passing week with the effect
Stephanie Miller
has on American adolescents and juveniles.
Sounds like
34 minutes after the hour. Hello, House Sparks.
Hi. Sounds like the guy who's who would be adding the anti-porn elements of the RNC.
Is that any of their business?
Huge super, but yeah, they're gonna fight porn. That's some small government platform level. Again, that's one of the reasons why they're trying to marginalize the Ron Paul voters. Is quite frankly, is because their libertarian leanings are not. That it's hard for them to push this caricature of freedom that they believe in, you know, that they say they believe when they're actually confronted with having to act on it. Right.
Yeah.
Is that if you
By the way, speaking of porn, the Palin impersonating porn star?
Oh, yeah.
She's very popular.
She's very attractive, too.
Yes. Doing a lot of parties down in Tampa.
She was in the 2008 porn film, Who's Nailin' Palin?
Yeah.
The film that posed the question to which the answer was evidently everyone.
as Lisa everyone Ann. Is wont to do.
Lisa Ann is the star of that film. She bears an uncanny resemblance to Sarah Palin.
From the neck up.
Yeah, she went made her way to Tampa's three dollhouse strip club.
From the neck down, she bears an uncanny resemblance to any number of professional performers in that arena.
Who went to the same plastic surgeon.
That's all I'm saying.
The article concludes the hooting crowd seemed to approve of her positions.
Mm.
Oh, yes,
her platform positions.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I get it, because she's
check
up on a platform
hands,
dancing.
Jim.
Damn. Yeah, she's
38 double D.
Oh, you know her breast size.
I saw the article.
Oh, I see. But you memorized the breast size.
Okay. Well,
it's in the title of the article.
All right. Rick Santorum.
Like, well, all right.
Rick Santorum last night.
President Obama rules like he is above the law.
Huh?
Americans take heed. When a president can simply give a speech or write a memo and change the law to do what the law says he cannot do, we will no longer be a republic.
It's funny that Santorum didn't give any speeches like that when Bush did the exact same a billion times.
A zillion signing statements, huh?
Yeah.
I love this. Hear ye, hear ye. Listen now or forever hold your peace in this town square. I will tell you that the king has no clothes. This is really what he's intending to sound. I love when he tried to add gravitas to BS.
This may be one of my favorite quotes of the Romney pollster said, we're not going to let our campaign be dictated by fact checkers.
What?
Because they've been called out for the thousandth time by everyone about this completely false welfare ad. PolitiFact rated it, of course, pants on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Romney pollster Neil Newhouse responded saying, we're not going to let our campaign be dictated by fact checkers.
Facts of a liberal bias.
A in French. Let's see. And then Romney political director Rich Beeson, he laughed off. He laughed. He chuckled about the veracity of the ad, stating reasonable people can have a disagreement about whether the ads are false.
No.
No.
2 + 2 does not equal 7.5.
No.
I will agree with him 50%. People can have a disagreement on it. Reasonable, no.
By the way, would you like some, speaking of facts, would you like the facts, the fun facts, the fun fact checked on the anti-Obama, have you seen this, Obama 2016?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It literally has, first of all, it's just based on the opinions of this Dinesh D'Souza, and they have dramatic reenactment with actors.
Uh-huh.
Felt like, what? And people treat this like it's
a
documentary.
So, yeah. This is the fact checked on the Obama film by independent fact checkers. 2016 Obama's America argues that Obama was heavily influenced by what D'Souza calls the anti-colonial beliefs of his father.
Oh, come on. Oh. Anti-colonial.
Yeah, right. like George the founding fathers. And
yes, exactly.
The original founding fathers. Pretty anti-colonial bunch.
Yeah. Who was, by the way, largely absent from the president's life.
Yeah, right.
That aside.
No details.
Yeah.
D'Souza travels. He cites several actions and policy positions Obama's taken to support the thesis that Obama's ideologically rooted in the third world and harbors contempt for the country that elected him. The assertion that Obama's presidency is an expression of his father's political beliefs, which he first made in his book, The Roots of Obama's Rage, is almost entirely subjective and a logical stretch at best, according to fact checkers. D'Souza even sees clues in the book's title Notice he says it says dreams from my father, not of my father, because... What does that mean?
In German, the word von means both from and of, depending on the context. Same as de in French.
Yeah.
And der. Or der.
The Associated...
and de in Chinese.
Associated Press continues, der. It is difficult to see how Obama's political leanings could have been so directly shaped by his father. As D'Souza claims, the elder Obama left his wife and young son when Obama was 2 and visited him only once when he was 10.
Mm-hmm. And he stamped his anti-colonial... Right. Ideas right on his brain.
Yes.
Wow.
So, because, you know, there's nothing that 10-year-olds like to talk about more than colonialism and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's funny how...
and how they may one day grow up to run America and then downsize it or...
P.S., what's the difference between that kind of thought and Ron Paul saying we need to get out of the rest of the world if we're not involved in... If it's not in the America's direct interests, why are we building bases? That similar thing? And they seem to be fans.
Who's our favorite guy, that Fox... pop psychologist?
Oh, Dr. Keith Abloh.
Yeah, this is like the version of that. D'Souza interviews a New York University psychologist who psychoanalyzes the president, having never met the president,
right.
Of course.
Sure.
But he says in Obama's case, the abandonment by his father meant he has the tension between the Americanism and the African, his Africanism. Mm-hmm. He is himself an intersection of major political forces in his own psychology.
Uh-huh.
Then that's the evidence D'Souza uses...
I love this.
The article says from there, the evidence D'Souza uses starts to grow thin. Oh, you mean that was
starts
there? That was where you were following it, and now he interviews a psychologist who's never met the
president.
I'd
like to know what influence Dinesh D'Souza's Indian roots has on his worldview.
Right.
I'm not done with
the
fun
where's
facts.
Where's the movie on that?
Yeah, right.
AP has a lot of fun facts. In Hawaii, D'Souza...
Would he have been pro-English in that process?
Check this out. D'Souza asserts that with no evidence, Obama sympathized with Native Hawaiians who felt they'd been marginalized by the American government when Hawaii was becoming a state. He asserts again with no evidence that Obama's been coached to hold those views at the prep school he attended in...
That's insulting.
...Honolulu. In Kenya, he interviews some guy named Philip... A lifelong friend of the president's father who, once again, Obama didn't really know.
Met once.
A guy
he's never met. Well, no. He met his father once, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Who claims the elder Obama was totally anti-colonial. He also discusses his own political views. This is the friend of the father Obama didn't know.
Or ever meet.
Complaining about U.S. policy in Afghanistan and Iraq and saying the U.S. refuses to tame Israel, which he calls a Trojan horse in the Middle East. D'Souza seems to suggest that if a one-time friend of Obama's late father holds his opinion, the president obviously does too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Being black
That's
all.
A straight line there. That's... D'Souza then goes through a list of actions Obama has taken to support his thesis. Many of them don't hold water. He talks about the debt rising, but fails to mention...
debt was left by George W. Bush.
Yeah,
using Dinesh D'Souza's argument, then Paul Ryan not only believes everything that Todd Akin said, but is Todd
Right.
Akin.
He just wears
a skin.
Right.
Serves two offices in
D'Souza
Congress.
D'Souza says
that Munster suit.
Obama is, quote-unquote, weirdly sympathetic to Muslim jihadists in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He doesn't mention that he...
Shot Osama bin Laden in the eye
drones.
Odd way to show sympathy.
Drone strikes.
Yeah, killing a lot of people.
Yeah, there's nothing like a drone strike to say I love you. And I sympathize. D'Souza wrongly claims that Obama wants to return control of the Falkland Islands from Britain to Argentina. No, wrong.
When did he ever say that?
D'Souza says Obama has done nothing to impede Iran's nuclear ambitions despite the severe trade and economic sanctions they have.
Right.
We've imposed. D'Souza says Obama removed a bust of Winston Churchill. There's your
favorite. Again. There are two busts.
Yes.
The Bush administration returned the original one back to England.
It was scheduled to be returned. Another bust of Churchill on display in the president's private room. Okay.
And did D'Souza say that Rachel Maddow's a guy?
No.
Yeah.
But it is based on Obama derangement syndrome.
Okay.
And there is a market for Obama derangement syndrome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People
Big
think
money.
This is some sort of fact-based, documentary.
God.
And the reviewer yesterday was saying it's based on a book. A documentary is supposed to be like a exploration to find the truth.
Yeah. Right.
This is just, it's a political ad based on his theories in his book. And
right.
But he got the guy that knew his father once, that the president met once.
There's a bunch of my dad's friends who are lovely people.
Right.
But they believe some bat crap crazy stuff from when I was a kid. My dad has a great friend named Nick who I love dearly, but is a little spun. and and looks like a blonde Charles Manson.
Oh.
And it, but he's I mean, he's nice in a barbecue hang around kind of a way. But if anybody ever went
drinking a PBR,
clearly Nick believes this. So blah blah blah. Like that. So Hal got he has to have. And I hung out with him.
Hey, listen, some of the stuff I overheard at my dad's poker parties.
Oh my
God. I'm just saying, you know. It's all right.
Yeah. By the way, explain to me, Dinesh D'Souza, explain Stephanie Miller. Yeah. I'm dead serious, because your dad ran as the VP of the GOP.
Oh, I'm sure he's working on the documentary about me.
And yet...
Yeah, the dreams from your father were what?
Why?
Not this.
Yeah.
Something entirely different than this.
And by the way, I'm sure he palled around with some people who knew Nixon and McCarthy and all kinds of people because they served in Congress together.
And Dinesh D'Souza is working on a documentary about my father's dreams for me, and it will be called...
Disappointed!
Okay.
But the point is, if you're gonna psychoanalyze somebody, and go, okay, this is clearly this had an influence.
Yeah,
You were around him a lot.
All right. So let's we've dispensed with that. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Al Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Get up, baby. Get it popping. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, this is the most hilarious picture of the week. It's the Queen rolling with her homies in a hoodie, driving a Range Rover.
Driving a Range Rover, yeah.
And then George Zimmerman shot her.
No.
No. No, stop it. Funny.
It was God's will.
Yeah.
That's awful.
The Queen.
You're going to make me lose my mind up in here. Up in here. You're going to make us go all out up in here. Up in here. You're going to make us act a fool up in here. Unlike Harry, who's showing us naughty bits.
Mum, shall we let the dogs out?
I'm appalled. Yes. Let the dogs out, by all means.
Woof.
Who let the corgis out?
I did, Mum. You said all take right. them out and give them their afternoon treat.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free right now for 30 days. Do it. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. Did you see this? Huge story. Huge. Donald Trump is...
Huge.
What is his deal with Arianna Huffington?
Oh, yeah.
He's not very perceptive. He said her husband left her because she's unattractive. Okay, A, she's beautiful. B, he's
gay. Because he's gay, yeah. And technically speaking, he's right in that he's not attractive to her because he's attracted to men.
Yes.
And she's a beautiful woman. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
I don't know what his deal is. He said she's unattractive both inside and out. Okay.
All right. Whatever.
And I understand why her former husband left her for a man. He made a good decision.
Wow.
Why?
He's a nice man. I don't know. And now he's sending get well Twitters to Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know what's happening. He's picked a new target, apparently. Mm-hmm. Rosie O'Donnell got married. Congratulations to her. So they're going to have another ceremony. I bet you Donald Trump's going to give her away. The world has gone insane.
She's totally. Yeah.
That wedding cake is
it's
huge.
It's Mitt Romney's flip flop world, and we all just live in it. Or do we? We don't. No, we don't. Yes, we do.
Who can
say?
Yeah,
we do. Do we?
Oh.
I stand by it.
Hal, we got a hate letter.
Getting into the Heisenberg uncertainty principle here.
We had a hate letter explaining comedy to us.
Oh.
Because it's because we don't have the number one comedy
tour.
And the number one comedy
RNC?
Album in the country.
Yeah.
Okay. Jack, subject line, you are so stupid.
So? Does he drag it out?
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
I listened to a few seconds of your show this morning. I cannot believe how stupid you and your clowns are. You played the clip from Rush about the bags of money. And the Demnuts stealing it,
oh,
and you
funny.
Idiots took it as being serious. It's what we normal people like to call a joke. Hello. You are so retarded.
Yeah, because thousands of people drowning is
so
hilarious.
We don't get why we're... Because we're...
Yeah, no, we're aware
that
he thinks...
We don't get why it's funny about people growing.
No, we're aware that he thinks it's funny. We're aware that he thinks he's being cute. But we're also pointing...
We're not done. Hey, you support Barry and his stupid policies. He has zero leadership experience. Actually, he does now.
Yeah, 4 years worth.
Yeah. Yeah, and you think he's the best thing since white bread. Oh, wait, I better not say white bread. Now you're going to think I'm racist. I hate Barry because he's stupid. I guess like me.
Wow.
And has no clue. Blah, blah, blah. Stupid, stupid. You don't understand a joke. Stupid.
Thanks,
Jack.
They can't be stupid.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack.
I appreciate the tutorial.
Rush Limbaugh's belly cradler for the afternoon. The man who will walk around Rush Limbaugh with a broom and a bucket like an elephant. like an elephant janitor at the circus that it runs in Rush's brain.
Lawrence in... I want to see a sumo match between Chris Christie and Rush.
That's why it's funny.
Lawrence in Houston.
By way of New Orleans.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes, hey, Mama. Hey, Al. How you doing? First of all, can I be the official evacuee hanging from a tree correspondent of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Wow. Oh, God, nice. Did you really hang from a tree after Katrina?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
but that's as close as I'm ever going to get. Rush Limbaugh is a complete idiot, because... Anytime something hits New Orleans, he has something to say.
Right.
I mean, 7 years ago, to the day, actually, 7 years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit, he had all these horrible, horrible things to say. Mm-hmm. Then when the floods happened in the Midwest, I think it was, 2008 or 2009, he somehow pulled that towards us again. And now he does the bag of money thing.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know why Republican humor always seems to be based on death of some sort, which is
of people weaker than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and insinuating that that's a good thing overall, and there should be more of it.
Right.
That's the general that's the baseline. But then, of course, it's not really Rush Limbaugh's fault. He lives in a country that has been going down the tube since women got the vote.
Yeah.
By the way, here's the new. Talking about, we're going to hear this tonight, too. We've heard this from callers. Romney said Obama passed everything he wanted and failed. Ugh. We've heard that before.
Yeah.
He had a Democratic Congress, and he got everything he wanted.
Wrong.
He says
no, not so much.
Yes. I
want to look up that filibuster.
Right, the record number of filibusters mm-hmm. to weaken, in some cases, thwart large pieces of his agenda. The stimulus is, and again, I understand there's a difference of opinion. Many people thought it was too small. That's why, it
is. And too many tax cuts.
It had to be scaled down.
Direct
because of
stimulus
GOP.
As opposed to just tax cuts. Right.
Right. Repeated filibusters on health care ate up a year of Democrats' mm-hmm. legislative time, and Obama's subsequent efforts to boost the economy have been met with just
a
solid
objective to make him a one-term president mm-hmm. by denying him any kind of victory at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I've heard that many times. He got everything he wanted. He had a Democratic gun. He got everything he wanted.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Mayor Villaraigosa, our mayor of L.A.,
mm-hmm.
he said you can't just trot out a brown face or a Spanish surname and expect people are going to vote for your party. This is a party with a platform that calls for the self-deportation of 11 million people.
Yeah.
What country in the world has ever deported 11 million people?
Mm-hmm.
A slew of recent polls show Romney scraping the bottom with Latino voters, even behind John McCain's disastrous 2008 performance.
Right. It's okay. They won't be able to vote this year anyways.
Villaraigosa predicts Democrats will garner close to 70% of the Latino vote. We were saying how I've never in my years in politics seen the African American poll. It's Romney zero.
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 That's hard
zero.
To do.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm saying. Within margin of error means there could be black poltergeists or fetuses that
even,
also hate
even,
Mitt Romney.
You couldn't even get Herman Cain to vote for you.
No.
Zero.
No.
Right. That's increasingly clear.
Yeah, I mean, John Boehner pretty much came out and said, we hope they don't vote. We just hope minorities don't vote.
Beyond hope, they're trying to stop
that's
them
what they're
from
doing
voting.
In
that's the whole point. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to disenfranchise large groups, the problem they have with women voters is that you can't directly disenfranchise them with the way you can with Hispanics or black people. You can create laws that will hinder them, but it's harder to do that with 52% of the electorate.
Yeah,
but they're trying.
I told you, Michelle Bachmann said, only the Republican Party had a woman who won the first contest, the Iowa straw poll, that'd be me. Yay for me. So we are a party of women, And we fielded an African-American candidate, Herman Cain, and a female candidate in me, so we're a very diverse, inclusive party.
Yeah, and how far did you make it? And P.S.
We fielded two disastrous candidates.
Both you and Sarah Palin both have the same favorability rating as far as your party faithful
and
go, and inverse number of people who believe you're electable and can run. So they get like 11% when people go, should they be president? They get 65, 70% in likable and like their policies. So clearly, the only problem is your vagina.
There
that's
you go.
The big
exactly.
problem. That's the big she's deficit. Problem.
She's the only one married to Rip Torn.
Didn't mean
though.
To say big.
That's true.
Hal Sparks.
Rip Taylor, I mean.
You can
right.
see Hal Sparks with me at Sexy Liberal. Go to sexyliberal.com for tickets
right.
to Seattle and New York.
Absolutely.
Where else are you going to be?
We'll be there. Well, I mean,
everywhere.
Everywhere. I'm actually in New York this weekend. I might be launching a Sirius satellite radio
what?
Show.
What? No way!
HalSparks.com.
We'll talk about it.
HalSparks.com. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.